How many of you came tonight to learn about the Word of God? Okay, faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God, and hearing by the Word, the Bible says. As I say so often, my mind orbits around one thing, and that is the deep, wonderful mysteries of God. And if it was left up to me, I would just live in the mysteries of God, because I just love the mysteries of God. I would just be right by myself somewhere, right in the anointing of God and just in the mysteries of Christ. But the Lord's got a way to stop that. When He doesn't want you to do that, He's got a way to stop you. I remember how He spoke to me about doing something for Him. Being in study is great. Being in the mysteries of God is great. But there comes a time when God expects you to go out and win souls, the Bible says, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garments that's spotted with the flesh or with iniquity. So I hate the garments that's spotted with the flesh. From the bottom of my soul, I hate it. It's a vexation to me. Anything that's for God, anything that you can do for God, I love it. I love the Spirit of God. I love the atmosphere of them that want to walk in Christ. But that that's spotted with the flesh, Satan save us the things that be of the flesh, that that's spotted with the flesh, I abhor that. It is repulsive to me. And I don't like it. I left it many years ago. And I put it completely out of my mind to where that by His help that I would never again, never respond even to the reflex of the flesh and the intents of the heart as to that which is wrong. I'm jealous over my thoughts with a godly jealousy. I say that so often. I'm jealous over my people with a godly jealousy. The Bible says, Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I seek to present you to God without spot, without wrinkle, blemish, body, soul, and spirit. I have given you to Christ as to teaching you the word. You know, when a girl gets engaged to a boy, she is thus espoused. And she's not supposed to be talking to any other boy. I know the modern generation, you know, they talk to them while they're espoused and they talk to them after they're married. You know, you're just liable coming any night and find your wife drinking coffee with somebody else, and she's liable to come home. You know, we got a social day where somebody comes home and said, did you know that I saw, and he'll call the name of such and such a fella and said, we spent hours together today. We just had a darling time. And the man says, that's wonderful. You ought to have seen who I met today. You know, this crazy society, and they run up and hug and kiss each other and say, darling, I haven't seen you in a long time. I want you to see my wife. Or come and see my husband. They could care less about seeing the wife and husband, you know. But nevertheless, that's this generation that we're in, the adulterous, the sinful generation. And if they don't do that, then from their thoughts, they're always, always committing adultery. The Bible said to look on a person to desire them as being the opposite, and that you commit adultery with them in your heart already. And it is an adulterous, it's a sorrowful, evil generation. But I thank God that there is in the midst of this a people that, as I said, that would like to keep their hearts clean. Charity thinketh no evil. They would love to be holy. They would love to be godly. I had a man to come to me the other day. He's been here with me a long time. And he said, you know, I've just come to realize what I've done. And though I preached to him, though I've talked to him, though he seemed to be such a diligent person, yet he said, I realize what I've done, said Brother Pike. And he was crying not too long ago, just talking to me, and said, Brother Pike, said, I want to be holy. and I want to be godly. I want to be pure before the Lord. So we're here to try to help you to be spotless, to present you without spot. I purposed in my heart years ago that I didn't want to look at evil. I didn't want to hear anything about evil. I didn't want to talk about evil. That I didn't want so much as the reflex of my heart, my mind, the intents of my heart. I don't want it to relate to evil, not at all, not in any respect, not at any time. And for many years, I have strived. The Bible said, strive to enter into the straight gate. Many shall try and not be able. I've tried for many years, day and night, to try to keep my heart, my mind, my body, my reflex, the intents of my heart, perfect before God. I've tried to keep them perfect for many years, day and night, 24 hours around the clock. And the devil, he never stops, never at any time. I don't think I've ever left my first love. I don't know about it if I have, as the Bible speaks of leaving your first love. And I love him so dearly in my heart. And the devil has harassed my mind, he has harassed my body. He'll go clear around the world to cause somebody to call me a devil or to do anything that they can to hinder me in my work for God. He'll put false brethren among us, and they'll cause me all kind of problems. But I always went out. But there's one thing that we need to remember. The Bible says that when men say all manner of evil against you, all manner of evil against you, no matter what they think about you, no matter what they say about you, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake, he said, be ye exceedingly glad and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets, or persecuted the prophets before you. So they persecuted the prophets by doing that. And he says, when they say evil against you falsely, then you got a great reward. We had some saying some bad things about us, calling us devils. You want to publish it in the paper? That's false. I'm not a devil. I'm a Christian. And what it is, the devil wants company, and he'd love to brand me that way so I could be his fellow. But I don't have anything to do with him. We broke fellowship years ago. He still tries to hamper the mind. I wish we had the time. The different intervals that we come to talk with you, I wish we had the time to talk with you and explain to you just who you are, just what you are, and just where you are. And I know we do say some things about this occasionally, and some of you seem to get a hold of it, some of you don't. And the ones that do get a hold of it seem to barely get a hold of it, to the extent that they're not really drawing the benefits that they should be drawing from the gospel. Glad to have you here. Glad to have Eugene with us tonight. I think this is his first night with us. He called a few days ago and said he was coming, and so he's here visiting with us, and we're glad to have him here. Glad to have you come with a regularity. Glad to see my daughters, my sister's little daughter here, Angie. She gave her heart to the Lord a few nights ago. I made mention of this, I believe, in our last service. And she's been coming to church. To me, this is wonderful because I've been praying for her for a long time. And also, Vicky and daughters, they're coming to church. And glad to see the home front here at the home front. Glad to see on the home front the little ones growing up. You know, little ones that we used to pat on the head, they walk up and look you in the eye now. And glad to see them grow up, the girls and the boys growing up. And many of them are still wanting to make this their church home. Some of them are marrying off, and then after they marry off, they get disgusted with being away, and they come back. But we're glad to have them here to be with the people on the home front. We are not just a local church. I say this so often, I'm not here. I didn't come here to establish a local church. Paul said, make full proof of your ministry, do the work of an evangelist. And we are an evangelist. We do work around the world, preaching in different churches and different places, out in the fields, tents, or any place that we can go. And this has been our life, to evangelize. So we built this church here not for a local church. This is not a local church home for people. This is a base of world operation for world evangelism. And in that it is, this church is open to people all over the world. And a lot of people are interested in it. But it can be your church home if you're willing to make it your church home and be part of what we're trying to do to win souls. I don't want to become a stagnant pond. An old stagnant pond is just a place for wiggle tails. Used to, when I'd go swimming, we'd go swimming, me and the boys, we'd leave the plow stocks and run off down the fields and dive off into the creeks. I didn't want to get in an old stagnant pond. I left to jump right over into where the water was rippling, you know, and good, clean, clear water. Grab me a vine. You know, they like to play Tarzan, they call it. We used to swing across them creeks and swing way out and drop down the middle of them. We had a time. Didn't like stagnant ponds because a lot of times we run across them and they're full of old frogs and wiggletails and snakes and snapping turtles and terrapins and just a muddy mess. So I don't like a muddy mess for a church. I like something that's freely flowing, something that's got life to it and it's going on down to the next place too. So we're trying to do our little bit for God, and I trust that you'll get in here with us, become evangelistic in your minds, and help us. But any way that you go, we appreciate what you do. Whether it's little, whether it's much, we still appreciate what you do. And the ones that I can depend on that will give me their word to do a thing, I really appreciate those people, because the Bible said giving honor to all men, double honor to them that labor in the Lord. And we are to esteem men. We are to esteem men that tried to be the right kind of people. And the Bible said to highly esteem them that labor in the Lord, those that are the leadership of Christ and those that labor in God, that we should give them double honor and we should highly esteem them. I know the world, you know, they say, don't overdo it, you know, but nevertheless, I still like to do it and overdo it. If it's possible to overdo it, I like to overdo it for Christ's cause. There's not very much we can do in overdoing it. God praises his children so highly and so greatly in that he gives them his own glory, saying, Father, glorify these with the glory I had with thee before the world ever was. He gives them his own glory, so he esteemed them so high, there's no possible way to overdo it. And when it comes to working for God, you can't overdo it, because the Bible says that we are to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. So there's no possibility of overdoing it, even in that. So we're just trying to do what little we can along, and for those that love world evangelism, this is a base for world evangelism. And the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise, and the same shall shine above the brightness of the noonday in the day of the coming of the Lord. You'll outshine the noonday sun. So he that winneth souls is wise. And that is what I would like to do, is win souls. I've never asked to be a preacher, but I have asked God to make me a soul winner. The Bible said, wisdom maketh a man's face to shine. We're here to grow in the grace and knowledge as to the wisdom of God. All right, I want to read just a little bit in chapter 5. In this particular scripture, I could get into some deep things. Possible that I won't do it, because a lot of times it takes a little bit long to do it. That is to express things in detail, and I refrain from it unless I get a special night as to the people being anointed, as to their hunger and thirst for God. But as the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after the things of God as to righteousness, they shall be filled. A lot of people wonder why that they don't get what another one gets, or why they're in every field with the wonderful revelation of God. But when you see them hunger after cars and homes and money and prestige and frolic and eating and drinking and fellowshipping and whatever, it's little wonder that they don't get anything else. You can tell by looking at them that they're getting what the world has to offer, whether it's food or whether it's an abundance of prosperity or whether it's education or whatever it might be in the world. They're getting it. If you look around, he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh. And that is things of deterioration. The Bible said, so to the flesh he shall reap deterioration. Well, that is, it says, so to the flesh and he shall reap of the flesh corruption. Of things that do corrupt or corrode. But as the Bible said, lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures is, your heart will be there. And it's very obvious, though you're not aware of it, and a lot of times I'm not aware of it, but wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You know, you're not aware of it. You think, well, I'm just going along. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. But if there ever comes a contest as to a war between you and Lucifer as concerning the things that you're doing or where your mind is, you'll find out that your heart, to your shock and amazement, will be with your treasure. So, I want to let treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. I want to do something for God. Chapter 5, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes, in imprisonments and torments and labors and watching and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and faith, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. All ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temples of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said therefore that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. All right. This is reading a good little bit here. And I want to go back to the first part here of chapter 5. But before I do, I want you to notice that the Lord said, I have heard thee. I have heard thee in a time accepted. Now, I like that. I have heard thee. Jesus said on one occasion, Father, I prayed for these. There was a time when Jesus prayed for me. So he prayed for me, and today I am saved. I have salvation because he prayed for me. He said, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for these that you've given me, Father. And then he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. I like that. There is a time when God heard me. He heard me. Someone would say, when was that time, Brother Pike? It was in the day that Jesus died for my sins. God heard me through Jesus. And in that day, he succored me. That is, he took me in that time and accepted me in that time and sealed me from the things of the world in that hour to where I could never be lost. So he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Someone would say, when was the day of salvation? The day of salvation was at Calvary when Jesus accepted me. So then, when was the day of salvation? The day that he accepted me. But then again it says here, behold, now is the accepted time. So then when does he accept me? He accepts me now. Now is the accepted time. He accepted me in a certain day at a certain time. So when was that day? It's right now. Before the world ever was, he accepted me, wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, predestinated me unto salvation, justified me, glorified me, and elected me unto grace through the sufferings of Christ Jesus, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So then when I think of this, the day of salvation, when was the day of salvation? Today is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I'm born into this day. Now is the time of my salvation. Now is the time for me to repent. For this is the accepted day. This is the succored day. This is the day of salvation. So then, God has accepted me. In His grace, He has sealed me in. I am now born into this generation. And I sing the song, "This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day of salvation." Ever since Calvary, this has been the succored day. This has been the day of righteousness. This has been the day of salvation. Ever since Calvary, this has been the day of God's rest, and I've entered into God's rest. The Bible said, "He that has entered into the rest of God has ceased from his own work, his own strivings, his own trying to do certain things." But I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe He's taken away my sins. Why do I believe that? Because it says here that God was in the flesh. He was walking in a human body. And that we're to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And you can be reconciled to God tonight. I'm preaching that you can be reconciled to God because this is the day of reconciliation. This is the day when the blood is on the seat of atonement and God is giving you a chance to be reconciled to Him from a life of sin. Being born into a life of sin, then that means that you've got to be born again. You've got to die by the blood of Calvary, the body of Jesus, and then you've got to be born again. You've got to enter into this day, this world, this day where He has succored the people. This is the day. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And while he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, then he was free from sin. He was free from the things of the world because he was in the day of the Lord. So then we are in the day of the Lord. I am in the day of the Lord. I'm in the day of His rest. He worked 6 days. On the seventh, He rested. I've entered into the day of His rest. I have entered into His rest that I might not struggle and strive to try to perform my own way of life. He worked 6 days. I've accepted His 6 days of labor as being my labor. And that during that time, I have been born. And that as He finished His work, so finished He my labor toward Him. So the Bible said, "I am complete in Christ." That whatever Christ did, that took care of my labor, and I'm now free from the things of the world. So I've entered into the glories of God. I've entered into the rest of God. I've now been taken away from sin. I say again, the angel said to Daniel, "Messiah shall come. He shall make an end of sin. He shall do away with sin. He shall come and He shall do away with sin." And He came and He done away with sin, and now sin is gone. When the law was folded up and laid away, it done away with sin. The law is folded up. It's gone. I can never sin again because there is no law that I can transgress to sin. If transgression of the law is sin, and now the law is gone, then I cannot sin. I am free altogether from the law of sin and death. I say this again. The Bible says, Paul speaking, said, "I was alive until the law came. When the law came, sin revived and I died. And that which I thought was unto life, I found to be unto death. In that I had no condemnation," no condemnation at all, "until the law came and brought to my mind all of my shortcomings in God and revealed to me my impurities of life, that I become a transgressor when I didn't want to be a transgressor, yet I become a transgressor. So then I find that I am free from the law of sin and death." As I told the children a few days ago in school, it was Adam that caused my problems. It was Adam that sinned, and he is the one that put me under the penalty of death. It wasn't what I did. It was what Adam did long before I ever came into the world. So then Adam sinned, and the Bible said because of this, then sin reigned right on down from Adam to Moses. Over them that didn't understand, over them that was not under the law, death reigned from Adam to Moses. For Adam put me under the curse because he sinned. And the Bible said by one man's transgression, sin entered into the world. And that by lust, in that Eve was part of Adam and lusted after the tree. Then the Bible teaches that as Adam was the transgressor that put me under sin, that Moses came along and gave me the law to magnify sin, that sin might be a crushing thing. Not that it was intended to be a crushing thing, but the law came that it might reveal sin or the concupiscence that works within the body. Paul said, within the body there dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So then, when God sent the law, he really sent it to reveal my impurities and my shortcomings as to my sin. And the thing that was a middle wall of petition between God and me. And he wanted to move it out of the way. But when the law came, it revealed this thing. So then it revealed it. And then when the law came, I saw this thing. Paul said, my condemnation caused me to die. For when I was out in the world, I didn't think anything about condemnation. I'd done what I wanted to. I went where I wanted to. I wasn't worrying. I wasn't struggling in my mind about anything. I was just a happy-go-lucky, as we say. So when I come to the preacher, and I come to the Word of God, I come to the laws of God, and I begin to hear the gospel, I got under condemnation. I died. I died the good, wonderful God that I had loved, in the sense of offering him nothing to prove it, and the good, wonderful God that had loved me, that had done everything to reach me, and I was too blind to see it. And here I was. I'd come face to face with this, and he had gone away. I suddenly realized that I was wretched. I realized that I had done wrong. I realized that I had sinned. So then Moses gave the law to reveal the impurities of mankind, and the law became the killer. And yet the Bible said the law is not unrighteous. The law is pure. The law is just. And yet no flesh can be justified by the law, because by the law comes the knowledge of sin, and by sin comes death. I say this a lot of times, even the laws of the land. There is no law that is of any benefit to the people unless it's seasoned with an element of grace. So then the law that would not allow for anybody, everybody had to walk perfect. And the Bible said if you just break one little bit of the law, one little jot or tittle, you're guilty of all. So then here I am. I'm crushed. I'm killed by the law. I'm a transgressor of the law. I've sinned against God. Now the penalty is death. So then God, knowing that, he seasoned the law with an element of grace by sending Jesus and spilling the blood that it might allow for the innocent. That way it becomes beneficial to us. It becomes great to us. So then God, seeing that we were weak and could not perform these things, as to every jot and tittle, he sends his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he condemns sin in the flesh, and he that knew no sin was made my sin, that God may take him to Calvary and smite him, we esteem him smitten of God, take him and smite him in my behalf, deliver him from my offenses. That is because Adam offended against God, and I'm of the bloodstream of Adam. In Adam all die. So he delivered Jesus from my offenses. And then Jesus went through the punishment, his soul down into hell, his body into the grave, and his spirit ascended up to God. So he was raised again in another form. He was raised again as the same Jesus, but in a glorified form. He was raised again for my justification. Delivered from my offenses, raised again for my justification. Or that is, to say that when Jesus was born, God said, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. This is going to be the atonement. So Jesus was raised again as proof that death had no power over man anymore. See, death does not have any power over man anymore. This is the day of salvation. This is the day that God has succored us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How can I rejoice? How could I do anything else but rejoice? Knowing that this is the day of the Lord, that He's granted it unto me, and I have entered in, as John did, into the day of the Lord, how could I do anything else but rejoice? I rejoice because I have heard of this glad tidings of great joy. I rejoice because God said, rejoice forevermore. I rejoice not because I am strong, but because He is strong. I rejoice because what God wanted me to be, He made me to be that in Christ Jesus. He was delivered from my sins. I am now His righteousness. It is no longer me living, but it is Christ that's living. I am now bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. God will not impute my trespasses unto me because this is His day. The Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ. He would not press those things upon the people that they could not bear. He would not require of them things that they could not perform. God did that for us in Jesus. He did all of that. And then He folded up the law and took it away. So then I'm freed from the law of sin and death. I'm free from the law. I can't transgress the law. But where there's no law, Paul said, there is no transgression. And now there is no law to them that walk in Christ. For the law was under the flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. And I am not in the flesh. I've been chosen out of the flesh. And I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, unto the restitution, the restoring of all things. I say again, the millennium earth, the garden. Coming back in, I am now in the Spirit. I was born the living soul, but I died at Calvary through the body of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, now reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive unto God by the body of Jesus. I am dead, he said, to the world, and the world is now dead to me by the body of Jesus. So I'm not in the world, for he's chosen me out of the world. At death, my spirit departed from the body. It went back to God who made it or gave it. And then my body went into a grave, a watery grave, to be buried, to be laid away, that there be no more sin. The Bible speaks of sinful flesh. So then God, by Jesus, took away my sinful flesh. I have no more sinful flesh. It is gone from the sight of God. He never sees me again as sinful flesh. I am now a quickening spirit. I've died to the first birth of the living soul. And now I am regenerated by the washing of regeneration. I went into the new life with the second man, Adam. I am now a quickening spirit, because the Bible said the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And the Bible teaches that we're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh, and it's not us living but Christ. So then God is well pleased with me, not because I'm good as to my ability. He's well pleased with me, not because I've done anything really to please him, but because I am perfect in his sight, without spot, without blemish, without any possible error of my life. For he's not given me the spirit of error, nor the spirit of fear. So that he's made me perfect in his sight, and saying, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. He is without spot or blemish, because the evil one can never touch him. And behold, I've given you power over all the powers of the enemy, and he shall not by any means hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus. So then I say, how do I get all of this? Because he hath taken my body of sin away by Jesus. He has taken my unrighteousness away by Christ. I am free now from the body of sin. I am no longer in the flesh. I am in the day the Lord has made. I am without spot, without blemish. I am without wrinkle. God is coming back after me because I am part of his church. So then, the Bible says, I remind you, the Bible said, and God has justified you by faith. Justified you by faith. And he has sanctified you by the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, God hath perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified, and he has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And now he has justified us, the Bible says, and he has sanctified us, the Bible tells us, and he hath glorified us, the Bible says. So then, where does all of this come from? It comes from God. What is all of this? I've left the world, and I'm not in the world anymore, and that's where my sin was. That's where my past is. I buried all of that. I was translated out of that into the marvelous kingdom of God. For the Bible said the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God's been preached, and men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. So then my inner man was translated into the kingdom of God. My outer man, the Bible said, the flesh profiteth nothing. I put it away. It's dead. It profiteth nothing. I don't mess with it. We don't have communications. I leave it out there. It's dead. It's gone. I like to communicate with the dead. So it's gone. I love to communicate with Christ. And God, looking over the great chasm, as from Calvary all the way over here to the coming of the Lord Jesus in Thessalonians, when he comes with the shout, the voice of the archangel, he looks all the way from here over there, and he sees me in that glorified body. He sees me in that change over there, and this valley that I'm walking through, I am sealed. As to the inner man, I am already sealed from any kind of evil. I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he took away my sins. The Messiah came. He made an end of sin. And today sin is gone. There is no more sin to a Christian. A Christian can never, never sin, never at any time. Never sin. It's not possible for him to sin. Even his trespasses. They said, teach us to pray. Jesus said, pray, Father, forgive me my trespasses. Pray, Father, forgive me my trespasses. And it says here in Corinthians that he would not even impute their trespasses unto them. The Bible said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. The charity covereth the multitude of sins. And the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, but imputes faith for righteousness. So then we've left that behind. That's gone. The law of sin and death is gone. It is gone. By grace it is gone. But where sin did abound, as to the transgression of the law, grace did much more abound as to the spilling of the blood of the Son of God to show his love so abundantly above all of the sins and transgressions of mankind. So he came and took away the sins of the world. I tell you again, this is why that God allows the things to go on, that goes on in the world today, because their sins are also gone. All of the sins are gone by the blood of Jesus. And as long as that blood is on the seat of atonement, as to a dispensational grace, they will be just like you and I. But in the day when God moves the blood, the dispensational grace will be gone. The Gentiles' times will be over. Our grace is grace unto salvation. As to the day of salvation, having been succored by him, that grace will never leave. That grace will never leave. The very moment that God sees the blood gone, like Lot going out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's the very minute that God will burn the whole place. So we see the wonderful mercies of God. I am saved by believing. How am I then saved? It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not that he means everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. For the Bible said, he that doeth the will of the Father, that is, you're going to be judged according to the works. But he hath given me his works because I believe in him.
And I've ceased from my own works. So when he judges me according to my works, he will judge me according to the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm believing in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not believing in my works. Peter's works failed. He said, Peter had cursed. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. His works had already failed. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Believe in me, Peter. Believe in me. So, with the heart, man believes in what God done through Jesus Christ. The Lord did it all. He made me complete in Christ Jesus. The abundance of this heavenly treasure is in Jesus. Jesus wrought the works. He produced the faith. He lived the life that he become the heir and the only heir to the glory of God. So Christ in me is the hope of that glory that he stood in with Moses and Elijah on the mountain. The only hope of that glory. Just promise as to one, not as unto many, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. That is the son of faith. So then I find myself, I believe in my heart unto the treasures of God, unto his glory, unto his righteousness. By the word of this explanation, as to detail it to me by the minister, I hear it. It tells me of that wonderful love of God in Christ Jesus. I believe in what he done for me. So I believe unto righteousness. When I make a confession, he is the high priest of my confession. I believe with the heart unto what he said, what he hath done for me. By what he said, I believe unto it. So I come unto it, and when I come unto it, he's my high priest now. And when I look and I say, Lord, I believe in you, Jesus, I start calling on the name of the Lord. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you was raised for my justification. I believe that you're my high priest and you are the high priest of my confession. I confess thee, Lord, that I believe. And in that, the Spirit of God, through my faith, comes down, and God purifies my heart through faith. That is to say, as the pipe brings the water in, it washes the garment. And as my faith brings the Spirit of God into my heart, then the Spirit of God just cleanses me up. I'm already clean by faith to the extent of sanctification. For I'm sanctified by the faith which is in him. And when I believe, that faith becomes effective in my life, and the unclean spirit from my birth goes out of me. And so then, even from a childhood, the Bible said the unclean spirits in the child, because the Bible said the rod of correction will drive the evil spirit far from him. So then, God takes out the unclean spirit, and I'm sanctified. And then his heavenly spirit comes into me. Because I've confessed it, it comes into me, and his Holy Spirit takes up its abode within my heart. And I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. God walks in me. He talks in me. And he's always with me. He's a comforter. Jesus promised to send him. Now, the problem is, a lot of times you can believe. You can believe and come to the place to where you can be sanctified. I want to clarify this. I mentioned it the other night. I can be out in the darkness of the night. I can come into this building where the light is. And while I'm in this building where the light is, I can see. But if I go back out into the dark, I stumble. For they that walk in the night stumble. The Bible said, work while it's day. That is while you're in the light of God. While this is the day the Lord has made. While the grace is here. For soon the night cometh, when the blood will be taken away. The darkness will come. Gross darkness shall cover the people. And then when night comes, no man can work. No man can work then. You must work the works of God, Jesus said, while it is yet day. So here we are. We come into this building. That is, we come into the rim or radius of the light. When we get into the presence of these lights, as we would say, children of God, we may have a light out, like that one back there where the fan is right there. That one's out. We may have a light that's out, but we've got numbers of them that's not out. So we have people among us that they're burnt out. They don't have any light. Some people that are dead and twice dead, plucked up by the root. Or some person that has come in, and you are like that burnout bulb. You come in, you don't have any light, but you're in the presence of the light. And when you come in, then the scales are moved from your eyes momentarily to the extent that you are like Adam, you are illuminated. Over the outer man is the Shekinah glory, as it is with the world today. See, so you are illuminated with this great Spirit of God. And while it is there, then you can see your wrongs. You can see your need for God. And you have a chance for repentance. And God is wooing you and calling you to repentance. And at that time, you have a chance to repent. But if you don't repent, if you don't come to God, while the light is shining around you, then when you go back out, the light is gone. See, the light is gone. And one day that light will be gone forever. See, when you come in, you can be all lit up. You can be illuminated. And you can be illuminated to the extent that you listen at the preacher. And you say, I believe. And while you're seeing all of this, you believe. You hear about the blessings of God, the glory of God, the riches, the security of God. And you believe. See, the Bible says that you have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost by the illumination, the rain upon the just and the unjust, the rain on the tear, as do the weak. See, and you've been made partakers of this wonderful outpouring of the great loving Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, His mercy. And you have not only been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, you've tasted of the good Word of God and the power of the world to come. See, and then you go out. The Bible said that you trampled the blood of Jesus under your feet. You count it an unclean thing, an unholy thing. And you go out from the presence of God back to the old carnal mind, the way of the world, the old mind of debauchery and the gullible desires of the flesh, going back to the things of the flesh, back to the mind of death. To be carnally minded is death. The carnal mind is that comes from the tree of knowledge. And the sentence was, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And as long as you're in that world, you are of that mind and you die. Because it's not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. It's made for the world. And it's subject to the natural things. And Satan, being the prince of the world, he saveth the things that be of the world. He entered into the weakness of Eve. And he's had dominion over the world ever since. God had made Adam the prince of the world to be over it, to control it, and Satan took it away from him. So today he's the prince of the world. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, he hath nothing in me. And that Jesus could say, I am the prince of life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I didn't come that you might have the world. Adam had already had the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added unto you. So then we can see that we are in the day that the Lord has made. We've entered into the sacred day. We've entered into the enlightened day. We've entered into the day of joy and peace and righteousness. We that have come to God are filled with the Spirit. We're now saved. We have salvation. We're eternal. We can never die. We pass from death unto life. I say this again to try to explain what we're meaning by this, that is, we are dead. The body is dead to sin and to the world. It is dead to the law of sin and can never transgress again. If transgression of the law is sin and I'm dead to the law, I can't sin. If the sting of death is sin, then I can't die because there is no sin. Messiah made an end of sin. The law folded up and taken away. That's the end of sin. Transgression of the law is no more. The dead man can't transgress the law. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. And then of that, there is sin taken away, and death cannot come anymore. There is no sting to death because the sting of death is sin, and there is no sin because there's no transgression of the law, because transgression of the law is sin. So there's no transgression of the law, there's no sin. Where there's no sin, there's no sting of death. Where there's no sting of death, men do not die. So then we pass from death unto life. And of course, we're not going to try to go into it tonight to explain again the difference between sleep and death. You understand, because we've preached it numbers of times, and we'll be saying things to you from time to time, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Somebody says this is the day when, if we are faithful, we can all be raptured. No. I say again, there's no such thing as rapture in the Bible. That's the word that is man-made, that is besetting, that can throw you off. We are in the day of the translation. Someone would say, well, if we're faithful, then we can be translated. No, we are in the day of the translation because we've already been translated. I'm not expecting to be translated into the kingdom of God. I'm not expecting to do that. I'm already in the kingdom of God. I've already been translated in the kingdom of God. I'm not expecting to pass from death unto life. I've already passed from death unto life. I'm not expecting to go into heaven. I'm already in heaven. The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. I'm already in heaven. I'm already passed from death unto life. I'm already in the kingdom of God. I'm already rejoicing and having a good time and enjoying heaven and the wonderful things of God. Just give him a hand. I said I already am. And everyone that believes, I don't mean make believes or believes with their head, but really gets into the things of God from their heart, they've already passed into heaven. So then we're not waiting for a day of translation. We're not waiting for a day to go to heaven. We're not waiting for the kingdom of God. It's been ever since the law and the prophets. And we're praying that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, on this very earth, to bring in the millennium on this very earth. So then we are praying for God to eradicate, to take out the briars, to take away the imperfection, to move these things. All right, now, someone would say, you mean to tell me that you believe you're in heaven? No doubt about it. I say this again. Somebody says, well, I'm looking at you. I say again, you're beholding lying vanities. The Bible said, all is vanity. My body was buried in a watery grave. I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I am now hid with God in Christ, and you don't even see me. Because the Bible said, the wicked shall not see when good cometh. For Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded your eyes that you can't see good. You won't know even when the coming of the Lord's at hand. See, you don't understand that kind of thing because your eyes are beholden. They're so that you, Jesus said, having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not. But let him that hath the ears hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And as Jesus said, seeing always the things that my Father does. So then that's why John could talk with angels. That's why that he met some of the brethren that had already passed on and would have worshipped them had God not told him through them that that would be wrong. So then someone would say, what are you saying? I'm saying that I made it. 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 Hallelujah. Somebody says you're going to make it. I've already made it. Somebody says, but I see your body. The Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. Do you want to be a grave robber? What are you doing? So then, I made it. What about my body? My body will be resurrected at the sound of the last trump when the Lord descends from heaven. We are dead, buried with Christ. Not us living, but him. My body will come forth. Just as he comes forth on the white horse, I'll come forth on the white horse as the spiritual angelic being that I am. In heaven, we're all as the angels, equal to the angels. We cannot die. I'll come forth on the white horse just like he comes forth on the white horse. And my body will come to life. It's dead. It's buried. It's over. It's gone. All is vanity. Vanity, 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 and vexation of the spirit. The Bible said we shall not exceed the dead in Christ, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain, speaking of the body, alive and remaining to you that look at the body. To you that look at the body. See, Paul brings it out real clear here that if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. That is to say, this body is dead. Paul said, reckon yourself to be dead indeed by the body of Jesus Christ. And he said, the body is dead because of sin. That is, because sin hath wrought concupiscence in the body, and in the body there's no good thing, God had to kill it. So he said the body is dead because of sin. The world still sees it. The world still looks at it, because the Bible said they are dead. They that live in trespasses and sin, they are dead, and some of them twice dead, and plucked up by the root. So then I am out of that world as to my spiritual being, as to a spiritual father. I went out of that. The tabernacle I left behind. I laid it down. I buried it. And now I'm sitting together with him in heavenly places. He hath chosen me out of this world. I'm no longer in the body, which means I'm no longer in the flesh. Therefore, Satan cannot touch me because he cannot get to me. But when we say me, we're talking about the inward me, because the other is of the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. As you've borne the image of the little dustly tabernacle, which was the first man Adam, so shall you bear the image of bone of his bone, and of his flesh, which is our temple, or our house in heaven. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You spiritual beings, lay down the garment of corruption, and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the day of the judgment, if you come into the presence of God with that body on, if you try to get into this feast of charity with that bodily garment of corruption that you've got, you'll be bound hand and feet. And you'll be in the intellectual confusion of darkness as to never find your way into the world of light. So this wonderful feast of charity that we're having, it is the given love of God by His grace, by His love. He hath wrought this wonderful thing for me. So I am in the day that the Lord has made. I am in the day of His rest. When a man lays down to sleep, he takes his rest. I entered into His rest and I ceased from my own works. And I am today in the day that the Lord has made. The day of salvation, the accepted time. This is the day of grace. God accepts people in this day. This is the accepted time. So then He's taken care of me, and I find myself rejoicing and thanking God for His wonderful blessings. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you mean you don't get sick and you don't have any pains and you don't have any problems, you don't have any poverty and the world's not a nightmare to you? All of that is with the body, every bit of it. It's dead. I buried it. I put it away. Somebody says, well, what do you do when it comes back to haunt you? I put my faith in Christ. I put my faith in Christ. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, David of old said, my heart is fixed, evil tidings shall not trouble me. So then when all of these things fall on every hand, all of these things happen, my heart and my faith is in God, that He will do what He's supposed to do. He said, all of these things will come around to you, but they won't come nigh your dwelling. They won't come nigh your dwelling, because God has caused us to dwell in heaven. My dwelling is not in the body anymore. My dwelling is in heaven. So they can't get near me anymore. So as the old saying used to go, sticks and stones may beat on my bones. Used to say, words will never harm me. Whereas words can do you more problem than anything else. But it is a true fact that they can do what they want to with your body. But when you are in heaven, it has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it at all. If I lay down this garment as to you seeing it, then I would be over there as you would say. But I laid down this garment many years ago as to you not seeing it, and I went over there. So I'm over there already. I'm not waiting to be raptured. I'm not waiting to be translated into the kingdom of God. The word rapture is not proper terms anyway. See, from glory to glory, we're translated. We're changed. I am waiting for one thing. And somebody said, you are waiting for the change. I am waiting to wit the redemption of my body. I'm waiting to wit the redemption of my body. God wrought what it took to redeem my body at Calvary, purchase possession. And I am moving from glory to glory, from understanding to understanding, to where that we can come to this understanding, or the generation can come that will compile this or get into this thing enough to understand the mysteries of God and wit that their body is already passed from death unto life as well as their spirit, and that they do not have to die and they do not have to be put in a casket. I remind you again, Paul said, I show you a mystery. Not all men are going to sleep. Not all of us will sleep. But we will be, as you say, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from the terrestrial to the celestial, as to your body. Someone would say, well, that's what I'm waiting on. Is that body, Brother Pike? The Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. What are you messing with it for? It's dead. It's buried. It's gone. And when God gets ready, he'll pick it up and that'll be it. For he will resurrect the dead. But what's that got to do with me? What's that got to do with me? My dad laid down that little house. It's gone. It's laid down. It's gone. My mother laid it down. My brother laid it down. They're gone. See, they went away. Their little body is out there in the grave. The little house is out there in the graveyard. What has that got to do with it? I want to say this again. A lot of people have that feeling that you just have to die to get to be with God. You're not going to be with God unless you die, somebody says. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. He said he was with God even to the third heaven. Can you take the body away? By faith, Enoch did. Elijah did. Moses did. Appeared in glory. Going to be a lot of people that do it. We're not under the law. You're not under the law. You are not under the law. You're under grace. Enoch was translated that he should not see death because he was not under the law. The law is now folded up, laid away, and you're not under the law. That's why you can be translated by faith and not see death. Even to the body, it was taken away as to Enoch. Moses went away. He didn't see death. We think that he saw death, but he didn't see death. For when death came for him, the angel of God said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. And Moses' body appeared with Elijah, who did not see death, over in glory, with Jesus, who appeared there. And remember this, from the manger to that glorious place with Moses and Elijah. That is our course. Jesus did that from the manger to glory to say it is not necessary for man to die to get to glory. You don't die to get to glory. But he said it's necessary for me after I finish my course to show you this, to come back and die for your sins so that you can do this without having to die. So then the course is from the manger into glory. Someone would say, you'd never make it. I've already made it. Let's give the Lord a hand. It worked real good for me. Real good for me. So then, to wit, the redemption of my body, to come to this, we're working toward this in the growth of the knowledge and grace of God. To wit, the redemption of our body to the generation or the people that will not sleep. That will not sleep. Not sleep. Somebody says, what about this change? I say this a lot of times. You say, what about the change? I say, folks, I'm going to tell you about the change. And I said, before I said it, it's gone. It's gone. That don't sound right, does it? I say, now just be patient. I'm going to tell you about too late. Too late. Somebody said, no, yes. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. Before I can say anything, I say, oh my God, too late. They're already gone. They're already changed. So you see, you're not waiting for anything as to a great thing that you're going to do. The great thing is Christ in you. Hallelujah. That's going to bring this thing to an ultimatum as to where there's going to be people that won't have to die. Because in the grave, there's no glory to God. In the grave, the skin worms will eat you. In the grave, you're not going to praise God. In the grave, it had nothing to do with it. Death is the enemy of God. I've got power over death. You've got power over death because we are now alive forever. We pass from death unto life. And it has no power over us whatsoever. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate your attention tonight. We could go on and go on. The song said, talking about this good old way. Talking about the Lord. So, we see that it's so simple, so very simple, and yet great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels, and He was caught up into heaven. Someone would say, do you believe you're in heaven? Do you really believe that? Jesus said, Nicodemus, no man is ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. He said, who is in heaven? And yet as a fleshly being, He stood there and talked with Nicodemus. So then you say, well, what's that got to do with you, Brother Pike? I'm bone of His bone, and I'm flesh of His flesh. So I am among those that dwell in heaven. He said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. I've chosen you out of the world, out of the flesh. The heavens have received you. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Rejoice forevermore. Because there's never no more sin to you. There's never no more death. There's never no more transgression. There's never no more, never no more of these things. It's gone forever. Your sorrows are gone. He bore your sorrows. His sickness, your sickness, He bore your sickness in His body at Calvary. Someone would say, well, I can see salvation. I know my sins are gone. You know why your sins are gone? Because you believe that. There's people whose sicknesses are gone. You know why their sicknesses are gone? Because they believe that. It was said that He took away your sins. So you believe that, so your sins are gone. It was also said that by His stripes you're healed. Only they that believe that have the benefit of it. The Bible said He bore our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He was bruised for your iniquity. Chastened for your peace. You know why you don't have it? Because you don't believe that. You know why that Enoch went away and you didn't go away? Because you didn't believe like Enoch. Before Enoch's translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Enoch was translated by believing. You have this wonderful opportunity now because you're not under the law. You're not under the law. You have this wonderful opportunity now. Those that were under the law, remember? Without us, they could not be perfect. Revelation gives this in the opening of the sixth seal. And the souls under the altar crying out, how long, O Lord? And the Lord went down into the heart of the earth at Calvary. Gave Him white robes, that is, His body as to the garment of righteousness. And said, just a little bit longer, and your fellow servants or your fellow brethren are going to die like you died, and then we'll bring you forth. Reckon yourselves to be dead with those people. But we have the lovely garment of Jesus as to putting on bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. So then what is this great thing that we're coming to as the church that we keep calling the rapture? It is the revealed knowledge of the revelation of the Son of God, that it's already happened, that it's already over, that it's always been that way, that this is the day that the Lord has made. And all He has been waiting for is for you to learn, for you to grow, for you to come into it, for you to wit, even to the redemption of the body. See, that's what it's all about. That is the rapture. That is the translation. That is the thing. And with the flicker of a moment, like that, the ultimatum. So then, let's not worry about the flesh. It's buried. It profiteth nothing. Let's take care of the spiritual inner man, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man's renewed day by day. Let's move right on to the finishing of the course. For as in school, you have a course to finish. Let's move on to the finishing of the course. And like Enoch, you can't ever tell what might happen. But there's one thing for sure. God is doing something as to a uniform thing, collectively speaking, bringing you into perfection, not in that He hasn't already perfected you, but the Bible said perfecting holiness in the fear of God, that you might be holy in body. He's left that up to you to put away from the sinful, corruptible things of the flesh as to that which is unclean, that you may perfect the body by letting this wonderful spirit of perfection rule and reign in your body. And the Bible said, not letting Satan rule and reign, not giving place to him, no, not for a minute. So, to the world, there's an interworking, a spirit that's working from the inner out into the outer man to change them into the image of the devil, the bastard child image. And I'll despise your image in the morning. That is as to the coming, as the recognition of what happened at Calvary, as to the day star dawning within our heart. So we could explain a lot about that, but anyway, it's working within them, even the spirit of iniquity. But the spirit of Christ is working within us, as to the headship Christ, and they as under the beast that shall rule and reign in the end. So we're not the beast, we're members of his body. The world is members of the beast. They are intellectual, they are of the tree of knowledge, it is Satan's mind, it is him working what he will in the flesh to take control of them, while we are of Christ. And Christ is coming out as in wisdom to shine within our face. I brought this out the other night, I'll have to bring it out again sometimes, as beholding our face in a mirror as being changed into his wonderful glory. I wish we could bring that out sometimes when we had plenty of time, as to show you exactly what is taking place. I know this is foreign to a lot of you, but some of you are beginning to understand. Something great is happening. Something mighty is happening. Something unbelievable as to the world is happening. Let me say this and close. They without us, under the law, could not be made perfect, because there's no justification of flesh by the law, and there's no perfection by the law except in Christ Jesus, that fulfilled the law within our heart. They transgress the law because they're still in the flesh. We cannot transgress it because we are spiritual beings, and the law hath no power over the spiritual being. So they could not be made perfect without us, but we are perfect. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. So then are we sanctified once and for all? A daily sanctification, we still do that too, to sanctify ourselves, that is to bring this body under subjection as to conformity to the perfectness of the once and all sanctification within us. That is, that he might have freedom in the body to work more freely as to the operation of the gifts. One spirit, many operations. Many members, one head, one Christ, one faith, one baptism, one God of us all. So then, folks, we can see that we're members of this body by his Spirit, having been baptized into it, having life by the Spirit that flows through the membership, even of his body. And we are perfect, and now they that were under the law can be brought forth in perfection in his sight. That is so wonderful. That is so wonderful. Death is now conquered. Though we are the master of a situation, and though we be Lord of all, yet we're as children. We're still under the tutors until the time appointed of the Father, as to the bar mitzvah, as to the change. But folks, let's be about our Father's business. Let's be about our Father's business. The last days, they that know their God shall do great and mighty exploits. Let's forget about the flimsy thing of the flesh, worrying about the flesh. Lay it aside. Let it be dead. Don't mess with it anymore. Don't frolic with it. Don't let the devil entice you with it. Lay it aside as an old dirty garment. Get rid of it that you're not corruptible and a stench in his sight, as to what you think is a pretty body and a pretty face, and pretty forms and figures, and nice, great, mighty, handsome dignitaries, money men, power men, great men of ability, artistic abilities. Let's get rid of all of that and realize that you're nothing, nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. All that Satan is doing, being the god of this world, you are nothing when you finish. But folks, when you are a son of God, when you are a daughter of the Lord, the Bible said sons and daughters, when you are a daughter of God, and that means you are a God, you are great, and you are mighty, and you are eternal. For Jesus said, you're gods, dying like men from the lack of knowledge. Somebody say, you couldn't do that if he's a God. Jesus was God. He died like a man. So you've got to use your knowledge and walk on into glory. Faith that ye shall not sleep. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep out over the wild, stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. You don't have to die like men. You're God's eternal. You can live forever. A lot of people are going to be taken by surprise. The Bible said in God shall take the hypocrite by surprise, thinking I'm altogether such a one as you are. Someone will say, what do you mean? I mean that you'll live holy if he's within you. Someone again will say, should I then try to live holy so I can go to heaven? No. It's just that holy life of the springs of living water that's flowing down from the throne through your branches that makes you bear the fruits of righteousness. No effort on your part. He made you holy. He made you godly. He made you to be whatever he wanted you to be in Christ. You're complete in God's sight by what he did with Jesus. Complete in him. So then, if I try to do anything is to perfect holiness in my body, I'm just trying to bring the water out into the branches that's already on the inside of me, that great, wonderful God within the kingdom of God within me. Not by observation will it come, but by faith in God is it within me, this great Shekinah that's coming out of me into the branches to bear the fruits of the Spirit. I say again, the tree just bearing apples because it's apple nature, oranges because it's orange nature. I'm just bearing the fruits of righteousness because that's my nature. That's the way I think. That's my desire. My heart's desire, and it pushes its way out into the branches. So then we are holy because he is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. He hath already perfected us. There's nothing I can do. I'm just a helper of your faith. I'm just telling you about this wonderful thing. It's been in you ever since you was born again. It's been working its way out as to develop you, to make you full grown in Christ. To the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. To the full reward, Paul said. Let us go on. So this has been working in you, Christ in you, to do whatever he wanted to do. Been working in you all the time to enlighten you in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. To develop your faith. Paul said the perfecting of your faith. This is what we're here for. To make you to know more, you can believe greater. As to know all is to believe perfect. We're here to perfect your faith by revealing to you the wonderful contents of that heavenly treasure in Christ Jesus. And some of you already have this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels. For now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God since Calvary, that we can have this wisdom that maketh our face to shine. Adam was in the presence of this illumination. Satan enticed him out from under it as the sun shineth upon the body. The sun goes down, the more illumination. In the darkness. But it was said of Jesus, I once was dead, now I'm alive forevermore. He stood in the midst of the candlesticks, and the Bible said it was as the sun shineth within his strength. So the Shekinah is now on the inside, being born to the Shekinah. Nobody can entice us out from under it. The beast part of us can't entice us out from under it, because it is in us. It is life. We're born of it. is breaking forth from within us, from glory to glory, to make our face shine out of this great, wonderful wisdom of God. To be intellectually, carnally minded is death, concerned about the things of the world, death. To be spiritually minded, concerned about the things of God is life, and that eternal life. So then, may the Lord bless you tonight that have eternal life. May God help you that don't have it. May He open your eyes. Don't just come into the light as to into a sanctification. That is to say, when the unclean spirit comes back, he finds the place garnished and clean, swept. God has cleansed you by bringing you into the light, pouring out His Spirit upon you. This is the blood on the seat of atonement. Even to the world, the unclean spirit goes out. It comes back, finds you clean. Can't come in. Goes to get seven other spirits more wicked than itself. It forces its way in, and then the Bible says the last state of that man is worse than the first. Been better had he not known the way of God than after he had known the way of the Lord to go back to the things of the world. They again, they're entangled, and the Bible said, subject to the bondage of those things, it takes his mind into captivity. For those things, as to whatever you submit to, that is of which you have been overcome, and you're his servants, whether unto righteousness as to life or iniquity as unto death. So then we're free from the world and those things. Let's not be entangled there again. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's sing this again, can we? Let's sing this little chorus. Weep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. I sit at your feet, O sweet Spirit. Sweep over. Can you sing that with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. The altars are open. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day.
love the Lord. Across the bridge, there ain't no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there ain't no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. In this world we're living in, we have the life of sin, done forbidden things we shouldn't do. But now the Savior leads the way to a land of brighter day, where there's real happiness and love that's true. Sing it with me. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Sing it with me, folks. Across the river, across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy. Can you sing it with me again? Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy. Sing it again. For in this life we're living in, we have lived the life sin, we've done forbidden things we shouldn't do. But now the Savior leads the way to a land of better day, where there's real happiness and love that's true. Far across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For
for the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. Cross the bridge, there won't be any more sorrow. Tonight, I hope that you can understand what little we said here tonight of the few things that we spoke about. I hope you understand it tonight. Folks, you can't realize how great and how mighty a human being is. You, I know you're human beings. And you can't fathom what I'm saying, some of you. But you can't realize how great and mighty as to what a human being is. One human being that can outshine the brightness of the noonday sun, that can be a son of God to as many as believed, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. To get this knowledge. Did you know knowledge is what makes you what you are? While Adam was in the garden, he had one kind of understanding that made him to dwell in the garden. When he got another kind of understanding, it made him to dwell in the darkness. And he's been in the darkness ever since. All of his descendants in Adam all die. They're in the darkness. When you die, you're in the darkness. But when you come to the mind of Christ, see, Adam's mind has made the world what it is, what it is today. It's made it that great, glamorous, powerful, money-making machine, robbing God of his people. Adam's knowledge did that, because knowledge does something. Wherever there's knowledge, it does great, mighty things. But folks, you have the knowledge of God. Think about that. You have the knowledge of Almighty God. That knowledge will do something to you. And that knowledge will change your world and your surrounding and your environment. The more of this knowledge you get, the more that you understand it, it will change your form of believing. And you won't find yourself with fear as to a believing unto death. For fear is faith in reverse. But you'll find faith, not as to a fear to believe Satan into power and give him dominion over your life, but faith to overcome, to believe Christ into power. For greater is he that is within you, even Christ, as to your new birth, than he that is in the world, even Satan, the prince of this world. You have all power over him, over death, over sorrow, over heartaches, over poverty. That's why you can preach deliverance. That's what deliverance is. That this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. See, you've entered into that day. We've entered into the Lord's day, like John did. How? Because that was the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've entered into that wonderful day. It's the revealing of the Son of God, the coming of the Lord. For every eye shall see him. And they shall narrowly look upon him that has pierced him. So this is the day, that the Lord has made. Search yourself while you've got your eyes closed, your hands lifted up. Search yourself, see if you be in the faith, see if you have been believing in heresy, ideology, or the things of this life. See if you're in the faith. Oh, beloved brother and sister, you can't remember, can't realize how great and mighty you are. Daughters of the Lord, sons of the Lord, you can't realize how great and mighty you are. You're made to live forever, to be eternal, and to be filled with the beauty and radiance as to the peak of perfection in your bodies and your appearances. Don't glory in your appearances in this world. Take moderation. Be shamefaced. Be grave, that you might appear in the other world as a wonderful, beautiful blossom of Christ. How beautiful, how wonderful, how lovely to know that you're eternal. Let's sing, while we've got our hands up, our eyes closed, let's sing this little chorus together. I'm going to sing a chorus of tune and let you go. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. The Lord has made. Let will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath. Can you sing it with me? Oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day. This, think of it now. Have you entered into the Lord's rest? For this is the day. Remember now, if you've entered into the Lord's day, he said, thou shalt do no work on my day. You'll do no work on my Sabbath, he says. You don't do any work on his day. This is the day of rest. Enter into the rest. He swore that Israel would not enter into his rest. And those that are of unbelief, because of unbelief, he said, and they shall not enter into my rest. Therefore there remaineth rest for God's people. Seeing that these did not enter into it when it was promised to them, then let us fear lest it be left us that we be not able to enter in. For this is the day. Let us enter into his rest. Let's do no work on his Sabbath. That is to let your bodies be dead. Don't let them be active. Don't let them be active in the day of the Lord as to the things of the world. Thou shalt do no work on my day. Let him. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Can you help but rejoice? Knowing your sins are gone. Knowing it's all over. Knowing that you made it. Knowing that you never have to be sorrowful again. Unless you just listen to that old carnal mind. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? I said you don't never have to be sorrowful again. Unless you listen to that old carnal mind, which is death and sorrow and heartaches. We've left that behind. Why communicate with Lucifer? Why talk with him? Why communicate with the dead, that spiritualism? This is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm gonna rejoice. I'm so glad in it. For this is the day, yes, this is the day that the Lord. Can you sing it again with me? Come on, folks. Oh, this is the day, this is the day my Lord hath made, that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. Be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice. Let's be glad in it. For this is the day. This. Can you give him a wave offering? Come on, folks. Sing it with me. Well, this is the day I entered into, the day that the Lord had. Have you entered into it? Have you entered into it? Are you still struggling to try to get to heaven? Or are you rejoicing and thanking God because of what He done for you? Come on, folks. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing that again. Well, this is my day. This is my day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad. I'll be glad. For this is the day that my Lord hath made. Can you rejoice and be glad in it? This is the day. Come on, folks. You tell me this ain't heaven? You tell me this isn't heaven? Why don't you release your faith and your spirit and enjoy heaven? Come on, folks. Let's give the Lord a hand. Can you praise God? Release your spirit. Get away from that old doubtful mind. That mind that keeps questioning what God said about it. Enoch entered into heaven by faith. Hallelujah. You tell me that I'm not going to enjoy this and rejoice in this. I'm not going to let myself go and have a good time. You know, people turn the bottle up and they get caught away. Some take dope and they get caught away. I got the Holy Ghost and I got caught away. Hallelujah. Go away. I said I got the Holy Ghost and I got caught away. Somebody says someday God's going to rapture me. When the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, He took me away. Ooh, I feel so good. Don't you feel good? Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Raise that just a little bit and let's sing that again. Can we? I want them to get the idea tonight. Oh, this is the day. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. We'll be glad in it. We'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that my Lord hath. Give Him another wave offering. For this is the day, not tomorrow now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not looking forward to it. Hallelujah. Glory. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is that day. This is the day we've all been looking for now. All been looking for it. They've been looking everywhere for it. And I found it. If you found it, everybody that's got the Holy Ghost has entered into it. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have His Spirit, the Bible said one Spirit. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. If you've entered into it, if you got the Holy Ghost, your spirit entered into His Spirit. And that's God's day. That's Jesus. That's Christ. That's His day of rest. His eternal day of rest. You love the Lord? What is the kingdom of God? It's the Spirit of Christ. All that God's got is in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to Himself. How much of a measure do you have of that? Let's sing it again. Oh, this is that day they've all been looking for. As me, Lord, as me, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath. Can we give him a hand? Can you say praise the Lord? Do you believe this really is that day? Hallelujah! Glory! Ain't you glad that you made it? Somebody say I'm glad. Hallelujah! Glad that we made it by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah! His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah! He took away my sins. That's why we sing, this is like heaven to me. Let's sing that. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. I'm shouting the victory. For this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. For we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus refrain. Can we cross over the Jordan? Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led no longer in the wilderness to wander. Get out of that intellectual mind. Don't wander around in that intellectual wilderness. Death. Be carnally minded is death. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led longer in this wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall sing it with me. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Can you give him another hand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Can you sing it with me? For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be. Sing it with me now. When time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For that angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Sing it again. For time shall be no more, no more, and time. Remember now, time is gone. It's over. It's gone. There's a time to die. You pass from death into life. You're not in the time zone anymore. He chose you out of the world. There's no time in heaven. Time is that thing that brought death. Remember what I told you about the shadow of time? It's gone now. And time. At Calvary, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do away with time in the fullness of time. He gathered all things into Christ. The fullness of time. Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The end of time. The fullness of time. All gone. No more. No more. This is the day that the Lord has made. The one eternal day. No time in this. And time. Said Adam, in the day thereof, if you eat of the tree, you'll die. You'll die. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. Time is no more. Time is gone. The angel shall stand on the sea and the land and time. Can you sing that with me again? And time. The other night when Brother Don came up here to New Waffle House, the little place around the clock, they put on his little tag, Chief. He took that coat that was mine. He put it on. He come up here. Our name is the same. He was in line for a chief over in Canada. Canada? It's symbolic of Canaan land. Remember how we brought it out? At the end of the service, Don stood here, denoting a headship that you're moving on. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land and time. One more time, sing with me. And time. We use the word time for stability. I say, sing it with me one more time. That's our human stability in life. But our inner being has gone away to be with God. Hidden the heavens. No time, no death, no sorrow, no heartaches. All gone. All gone. The fullness of time at Calvary. We're just now in our generation. Born into this generation. We're just now coming to understand that. Because we couldn't come till our time. Isn't that right? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. One more time. Lift your hands up, close your eyes, and time shall be no more, no more, and death for me is no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and death
for me is, sing it again, and death for me. I've destroyed him that hath power over death. I give you power over death, over all the powers of the enemy. You pass from death unto life. Death cannot harm you. Angel did stand on the sea and the land in the foreknowledge of God, and death for me. What is the revelation? The revealed foreknowledge of God for your day. And death for me is no more, no more. And death, remember, you that have the Holy Ghost, that's eternal life. When he entered into your spirit, that means that your spirit can never be separated from God. What is death? The separation of your spirit from God. What is sleep? Paul said, we shall not all sleep. Separation of your spirit from your body. But we're overcoming sleep too. One more time. For death for me is no more, no more. And death for me is no more. For the angel did stand on the sea and the land, then death for me is all over. Lift your hands up with us now and close your eyes. Do you believe that you pass from death unto life, or are you still expecting to die? All of our life we're subject to the bondage of fear because of death. But now, since we don't die, we don't fear death anymore. Do you fear death? You shouldn't even fear going to sleep. There is no death for you. And even going to sleep, you don't have to fear death, because you can never die. Your spirit can never be separated from God's spirit. I'll never leave you in a forsaken. Never. And you don't even have to sleep if we'll just go on into this wonderful way. Wonderful way. Go on with God into this wonderful way. We don't even have to sleep anymore. Sleep? We don't have to sleep anymore. Just go on with God. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Tell your people. Tell the people this glad tidings of great joy, that we're free from death. He that loved us so much has freed us from death and destroyed him that hath power over death, that death, sin should not have dominion over you. Paul said that sin should not have dominion over you. If sin does not have dominion over you, then death does not have dominion, because death is by sin. Death hath no more dominion over you. Do you really believe that tonight? Do you really believe that? As I tell you those things, do you really believe that tonight? Folks, for God's sake, believe it. If you ever believed anything in your life, for God's sake, believe it. Don't question what the preacher's telling you tonight. For God's sake, believe it, because they that don't believe it will never get out of this world. Never get out of this world alive. Never. Never get out of here. If you don't believe this, you'll never get out. This is the only way that Enoch got out. By faith, that he should not see death. By faith, Paul brought that to the New Testament. It's by faith that you don't have to see death. And many of you have already passed from death unto life. You've got that wonderful Holy Ghost, that Christ Spirit. That means that when your spirit went into his, you pass from death unto life and can never sin anymore. So you can never die. And folks, if you'll go on learning, go on growing in the grace and knowledge, go on with this wonderful thing. Paul said, I show you a mystery, we're going to understand it. We shall not all sleep. Shall not all sleep. Paul said concerning us, he included himself. He was in great expectation at that time. He said, we shall not all sleep. even in his day. You love the Lord? While you've got your hands up, said, will not all sleep but be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up to meet him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That is, you're not going to go by the way of the grave. You're not going to be put in a casket. You're not going to be put in the dirt. Because why should we mess with death? Why should we mess with death when we don't have to die? And why should we bother with sleep? Why should we bother with sleep? Why? You say, well, what if somebody goes to sleep, Brother Pike? What if you go to sleep, Brother Pike? What's that got to do with it? I laid down my body years ago. What's that got to do with me? There's nothing to do with me. In the battle, when you're fighting a battle, if a soldier falls, you just keep going on till you win the battle. Somebody picks him up, takes him back. If he's dead, they bury him. If not, they give him a rehabilitation unto life. But the soldiers keep going on because their drive is to the ultimatum, is to conquer and prove that they're going to take the land. By Christ, we can take the land. Let's believe unto life. Not fear unto death, but believe unto life. All right, I know that some of you can't get a hold of this, and I realize that because you're still yet in the carnal mind and your thoughts are of the flesh and what's going to happen to the flesh and how it's going to work with the flesh, all these kind of things. But nevertheless, you that are in the spirit and not in the flesh, you listen to what I'm telling you because you've got great things ahead for you. They that are in the flesh are in trouble. The Bible said to pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Such horrors is coming on the earth as to the tribulation and all the sorrows and wrath of God. But you that are in the spirit, that can hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, hold on to your conviction, not that you can fall when you've already passed from death unto life. Not that. A good man would fall 7 times as the world counts for it to get back up. Not that you're going to fall from God. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost to one of them. Every one that you've given me, I'll raise him up in the last day. You're elect, predestinated unto eternal life. But you can get careless, and the devil can just aggravate the life out of you by them old skin worms working in the body, and you're paying attention to them. Stay away from the graveyard. Don't go there to weep and mourn. Stay away from there. While you're standing here, we're thinking about the Lord and the wonderful things of God. As to who we are, where we are. Let's enjoy this day that the Lord has made. I'm going to do it, folks. Maybe some of you won't, but I'm going to do it. I'm not going to let my mind be in a rut in that old muddy place all the time. I'm going to enjoy heaven. This is not just like heaven to me. This is heaven. No mistaking about it. This is heaven. You say, but the flesh. He's pouring out his spirit on all of them. All of them. This is heaven. Even those people out there that's in the world, they're in heaven. I say this over and over. If you don't think you're in heaven, you that are in the world, wait till you go to hell and you can tell the difference between heaven and hell. When you look back at all the good things you had and the life you had and the frolic you had and doctors and dentists and whatever to take away the pain and the pills and medicine. You'll know you've been in heaven. They're in a heaven. As long as the blood's on the seat of atonement, that's heaven. That's how the devil got into heaven. He was living in the human beings that had a day of grace. But you and I are in a different heaven. You that have received the Holy Ghost went into your spirit. When the great Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost went into your spirit was caught up into the third heaven. It was caught up into paradise. Caught up into the third heaven. So then the flesh is in heaven. Don't worry about it. Even them that are in the world. But we're not in that heaven. We're in the third heaven. The church is in the second heaven. As to the grace. As to the blood on the seat of atonement. As to the body. You're well taken care of. You eat good. Everything's all right. You got medicine. You got help. Folks, I want to see your spirit go into the third heaven, which is in Christ. In Christ. Father, Son, and Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Third place. Third heaven. Moses and God the Father was with them. The Son of God came and he walked with them. Now the wonderful Holy Ghost has come. I'll send you the Comforter. He's in us, walking in us. We walk with him, for he's in us. In the third heaven, this is that third move. This is that third pool Brother Branham spoke about. This is that great third thing, the third heaven. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. You just let yourself go like Paul did. Believe like Paul did. And you'll say, oh my God, I am in heaven. I am in heaven. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. All right. While you're standing here with us, we'll ask Brother Steve Nunez to come up and dismiss us if he will. While Steve is coming, let's consider these wonderful, wonderful places, sitting together in these heavenly places, this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels. Can you get your eyes open? Can you get the scales to fall from your eyes that you may hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, and that you may see always the things that the Father does? You are not in the flesh in the world, but you are in the Spirit in heaven. For he hath chosen you out of this world, hid you with Christ in heaven. The Bible said, whom the heavens have received, so you're in heaven.